Blog Talk Radio.
On our 19th episode of The Ivy, we'll be discussing the past week of Cubs regular season games and any NL Central news before tonight's big game versus Milwaukee Brewers. We talk about it all on our 19th episode of The Ivy.
Bipolar with the check. I just put some crazy around my neck.
Welcome into the 19th episode of The Ivy, as myself, Thomas, and my partner, Max, will be here with you for the next 30 minutes to dive into everything Cubs-related. If you like the Cubs, you've come to the right place, and we're extremely grateful that you took some time out of your Sunday night to join us here. Max, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
All right, well, tonight we'll be talking about the Cubs' last week of games, like we usually do, along with some other baseball news around the division and the league. And also, make sure to call in the show by calling the number 845-277-9345, that's 845-277-9345, to join us here and ask a question or comments on anything Cubs related. So, Max, we're going to dive right into the Cubs last week of games. And do you want to start us off with last Monday's game, or do you want me to?
Yeah, I'll start off. So, last Sunday, it was our first of three Sunday night baseball games. The Cubs won that game 13-5. They scored six in the bottom of the eighth to put them up 13-2. And then St. Louis scored three in the ninth. Chris Bryant hit a grand slam, and as well as Wilson Contreras with a solo homer. Marcelo Zuna for the Cards also had a solo home run, and then Paul DeJong. And then Jose Quintana started that game. He went six innings, giving up eight hits, two runs, two walks, and two Ks. And then the bullpen closed it out. Kinsler and Cishek both had scoreless innings, and then Tyler Chatwood gave up three in the ninth. Overall, a pretty good game. Obviously, a lot of runs, and I think Quintana did his job starting. Tyler Chatwood, he's been kind of on and off all season. Obviously, he struggled that performance, but he's been pretty well ever since. Thomas, what were your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, this is the one we won 13-5, correct?
Yes.
Yep, so this was the game that also extended the Cubs. I don't know if you mentioned this, but extended the Cubs' winning streak to seven games. And this also was the game that we came into the division, I believe, came into the series 2.5 games behind the Cardinals. So we ended up taking possession of first place. So that was big. But going into the Cubs' next game, the winning streak eventually did snap at seven games because the Cubs, after leading 3-0 after the first inning, thanks to an Anthony Rizzo two-run homer and a Wilson Contreras RBI single, the Marlins came back. And in the ninth inning, they scored three runs. This was the game in which they had an RBI walk to tie the game. I think that was Pedro Strop pitching, and then there was an RBI ground out along with another double play ground out. Chris Bryant homered to make it just a one-run game, and the Cubs eventually did lose 6-5. And I remember that it was really disappointing that the Cubs allowed that second run there because that was the play that Kyle Ryan with the mental mistake, Max. He threw the ball to first instead of home, which led to the sixth run scoring, which gave the Marlins a two-run lead. And then, like I said, Chris Bryant's home run would have tied it, but it eventually did not. Cole Hamill started this game. He went six innings, five hits, three earned with seven strikeouts. He was pretty good. And C.J. Edwards had a clean inning, but Strop struggled, and then Kyle Ryan with the mental mistake was the end of that one.
Yeah. Something else to mention, too. I know a lot of people, they did blame that loss on Kyle Ryan, and I guess I can see that, but he did come in a tough situation with runners on base.
Definitely.
And he's been pretty locked down all season for us so far. After that game, he had a 284 ERA. I don't know if it's changed or not. But, I mean, he's been pretty good out of the pen so far. And, coming in and only giving up I think he only gave up one of Pedro's runs, if I remember correctly. Maybe it was two. Either way, he's just been really good so far, especially with – I don't know his stats with runners in scoring position, but, I mean, he's just been good all season so far.
Yeah, he's a guy that Madden has definitely increased his trust level at, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, now we'll get into a little bit of the game on May 7. The Cubs won that game 5-2. Steve Cishek got the win, and Adam Conley for the Marlins got the loss. Lester went 6 innings, 8 hits, no runs, no earned runs, but 2 runs allowed. In 6 Ks, he lowered his ERA to 1.41 after that game. He starts tonight. Brandon Kinsler, Brad Brock, and Steve Cishek all went scoreless innings. And then for Miami, Caleb Smith started that game. He struck out 11 batters in 6 2/3 innings, giving up 5 hits, 2 runs, and 3 walks. A good performance for him, too. I follow quite a few Marlins pages on Instagram, and he's definitely earned some high praise from them. 2.11 ERA so far from him. He's definitely been good for them. And then... Javi Baez had a sac fly in the first drive in Chris Bryant, and then the Albert Almora solo homer in the third, and then the Chris Bryant homer in the bottom of the ninth. The Cubs did score 3 in the bottom of the ninth, and that was off of the Chris Bryant homer. So a walk-off there, and then I believe the next day was a walk-off too. In which the Cubs won 3-2. Thomas, is there anything you want to mention from the day before Tuesday, or do you want to get started on Wednesday?
So Tuesday, let me look here real quick. You mentioned that the bullpen was stellar, with Kinsler, Brock, and Cishek all recording a scoreless inning, including 2 strikeouts apiece. Caleb Smith was impressive, I agree. And then getting into the next game, this is the game in which the Cubs walked off for the second straight day. The Cubs actually were down 1-0 after the end of the first and couldn't get anything going until the fourth. Javier Baez's RBI single tied the game, followed by a pass ball that gave the Cubs a 2-1 lead. In the ninth, we saw a little bit kind of like Monday's game, in which Kyle Ryan came in, but Kyle Ryan did get the earned run just because he gave up the hit. But Cishek had the blown save. I remember there was like a pass ball around there somewhere in that inning in the ninth. So the Marlins tied it, and then Jason Hayward, 6th home of the year in the 11th, was a solo homer as the Cubs honestly kind of stole this game, in my opinion. I mean, we scored one with the wild pitch. The pass ball. And we didn't really look great, and that also kind of reminds me of the game that we won yesterday. We didn't look great, but they got the job done, and after this, the Cubs were up 2-1 in the series looking last Thursday then to take the series, which they eventually did, and Matt, so I'll let you talk more on that.
Yeah, so that was Wednesday, correct? Or was that Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. Okay. The Cubs won 4-1. Not as much as a riled up game as the other few in the series. The Cubs did win 4-1. They scored 2 in the first and 2 in the fifth. And then Miami scored their 1 in the fourth. Chris Bryant had another homer, his 3rd in 4 days, against Miami. And then Anthony Rizzo had homered in the bottom of the fifth to extend the lead to 4-1. The Cubs didn't end up winning, like I had said. And big props to Mike Montgomery for saving the pen that day. He went 5 innings out of the bullpen, only allowing 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And Yu Darvish struggled again, going 4 innings, only 1 hit allowed and 1 run, but he did walk 6 and K'd 7. What are your thoughts on Yu Darvish so far this season, Thomas?
It's been disappointing, I'm not going to lie. it hasn't really been there. As for this start, just so odd, you know, four innings, one hit, one earned run, seven strikeouts. I mean, you'd think right there that, you know, if you saw that line, four innings, one hit, one earned run, seven strikeouts, that he'd be at, you know, 60 pitches. But that's all he had because he added six walks, and we've seen that he hasn't been able to get the walk numbers down yet. It's good to see that the strikeout numbers have been there. Looking at his game log, last game, obviously, he had the seven strikeouts. I'm trying to find it here. One second. Seven strikeouts, and then the start before that, he only had four. But the three starts before that, he had a combined 23 strikeouts and three starts before that in mid to late April, once against the Marlins, twice against the Diamondbacks. So he's not getting deep into games. He's only been he's only reached six innings once, and that was against the Diamondbacks, which he had eight strikeouts. So it's been a little disappointing, but still hopeful that there can be a turnaround for the future. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I had really high hopes for you coming into the season. And like you had said, he's struggled so far. It's been a little disappointing, but I mean, a lot of people are trashing him, but I'm really hoping that he can turn it around. I mean, the only thing really that's been holding him back so far is the amount of walks that he has given up, 33 and
right.
36 and two-thirds innings. I mean, that's really hurting him. I mean, if you look at all of his other stats, a .227 opposing batting average, really good for him. And, I mean, only 22 earned runs, 23 given up, and then the 8 home runs is a little nerve-wracking. But, I mean, if he could get the walks down, I mean, he can be, I mean, what all Cubs fans were hoping for. And I mean, I think he will figure it out. For me, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah, and I also want to mention that with that win, the Cubs did improve to 22-13. They had won 10 of their last 11 games, and that meant that they were leading the Brewers by one game heading into this weekend series. And eventually that lead was marked down to 0 games as the Brewers tied with the Cubs after Milwaukee's Friday victory. Also, just one sec, I want to mention the Trailblazers just beat Denver in Denver in Game 7, and I'm watching it right now, and that was pretty nuts. It wasn't like a buzzer beat or anything, but I just want to mention that because for Portland to be kind of the underdog in that series, and now they get to play Golden State, that'll be great. But, sorry, a little off topic. The Brewers won 7-0. It was a little uncharacteristic because usually when Jose Quintana starts against the Brewers, we see a victory. But it wasn't his fault. He went 6 2/3. He did allow 3 earned runs, but he did produce 6 strikeouts. He gave the Cubs a chance to win. It's just the bats were not there. The Cubs were 0-9 with runners in scoring position, max, and they left 8 men on base. Not to mention the bullpen was not good either, as Alan Webster gave up 2 earned runs, Kyle Ryan gave an earned run, and Brad Brock only recorded 1 out. He didn't really have any damage against him, but he didn't do anything bad necessarily, but Kyle Ryan and Webster were not good. Overall, it was just kind of it was a bad game. And this was actually the one game that I didn't have any post-game or pre-game for, just because of my finals and stuff. So I'll let you talk a little bit about this game if you want to, or we can just move on because there wasn't a whole lot to it.
Yeah, I mean, something else I did want to mention about that game, Alan Webster did go on the DL immediately after that game, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and then Carl – no, not Carl. Who was brought up?
Xavier Cedeno.
Yeah, that's right, Xavier Cedeno was activated off of the IL. So, I mean, obviously we didn't score any runs. So, I mean, you can't win if you don't score any runs. But, I mean,
right.
I can't really necessarily say Alan Webster did bad. I mean, he's a hard thrower, and I don't even know what he went on the DL for. But, I mean, if he was pitching through an injury, then, I mean, he should have told Joe or something. It is what it is. But and then the next day, Xavier Cedeno did make his Cub debut. He didn't even record an out. He walked Yelich, and then he was taken out immediately. I don't know if that was a four-pitch walk or not.
It was a five-pitch walk. I remember on my story I put that five-pitch walk.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, I have no idea, like, if there's something wrong with him now, too. I'm hoping not, especially with Webster gone. Just to have the fresh arm of Cedeno in the pen, I mean, that's going to be beneficial while Webster is out. And even when he is activated, I'd guess that he won't be on the team. He'll probably be down in Iowa again. But just getting into a little bit of yesterday, the Cubs won in 15 innings off of a walk-off homer from Wilson Contreras. Obviously a tough pitching day when you go 15 innings no matter what. But it was really beneficial that Cole Hamels went 7 innings, only allowing a run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. Another great game from him. His ERA is now down to 3.08. I mean, I've really liked what I've seen from him so far this season. I mean, a lot of people said that he wasn't going to be as good as he was last year after we had traded for him. But, I mean, maybe there is a little bit of what's the word for it? I don't know, but I mean, a lot of people were thinking that he wasn't going to be as good, and I mean, he's done really well so far. And going 7 innings yesterday was definitely beneficial. Carl Edwards Jr. also went scoreless inning, striking out 2. Then Brandon Kintzler and Kyle Ryan combined for a scoreless inning. Steve Cishek, Brad Brock, both had scoreless innings. And then Tyler Chatwood closed it out with 4 strong innings, no hits, no runs, 3 walks, and 7 Ks. His ERA is now down to 3.10. And I was talking to it with my dad, and I mean, is it a possibility that if Brandon Morrow is delayed even more than he is already, is there a chance that Tyler Chatwood could be our closer? And it's an interesting thought, especially with he does struggle when he's only throwing one inning at a time. But I mean, if you put him in for a 7th inning, and then, or even if you put him in the 8th and then he throws a good 8th, you put him back out for the 9th in a 1-run game. I mean, I wouldn't be totally opposed to that. I mean, he's done really well so far this season, in where he's pitched more than one inning. Thomas, what are your thoughts on him so far?
I think it's funny because, like, it seems like Chatwood can't start effectively. Like, he's not, like, a starter anymore, and we've seen how that's backfired. And it seems like he's not really, like, a closer either, like you said. It's almost like he's developed into a Mike Montgomery 2.0, in my opinion. Kind of like an inning eater when it's needed, when it's necessary on those days where it just turns into long bullpen games. And you can say bullpen arms, but as for making him, like, the official closer, I mean, they could try it, but I don't think that's the long-term goal.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it works, you know, then it works. But I don't think, like, for the Cubs to come out and say Tyler Chatwood is our closer, like our official closer, it would just be, like, odd. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think, like, because if he's throwing, like, 2 or 3 innings, like, every day, like, obviously he can't do that. But, like, if he's throwing, like, 2 or 3 innings, like, 2 or 3 times a week, like, I'd be fine with that, like, him closing out games. I mean, he's been really good so far. Obviously, I mean, he was good yesterday. And the walks, I mean, they're still a little bit of a concern. 13 through 20 innings so far. But his whip is only 1.23. So, I mean, even though he's walking guys, he's actually walked more hits than he's allowed. 13 walks and 12 hits. So he's been reliable so far. I mean, the only worry with that, kind of like Darvish, is the walks and the homers. So.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to talk about anything else in that game, Max? Do you want me to go through the lineup today?
No, we can go through the lineup today.
All right, so the Cubs, then, that sets up a rubber match tonight. That is at 6:05 Central Time on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. It'll be Shohei Chassin, the righty, who's 3-3 with a 5.03 ERA, facing lefty John Lester, 2-1 with a 1.41 ERA. John Lester will be making his 7th start of the season this year, obviously coming back from that injury. But looking at the Cubs lineup tonight, we have Jason Hayward starting it off in right field. We actually have Chris Bryant at first base tonight. That is because Anthony Rizzo will be sidelined and be sitting out tonight. Javier Baez will take short. Behind home plate will be Wilson Contreras after an off day, not yesterday, but the day before when Taylor Davis caught. I remember watching that. Kyle Schwarber will be in left. David Bode, our Lord and Savior, in third. Daniel Descalso at second base. Amaro will be patrolling center, and then obviously John pitching. Also, I wanted to mention to you, Max, do you know what John Lester's batting average is?
I do not. Not off the top of my head.
Guess. Wait, I got to see how many at-bats he has. All right, guess.
200?
He has six at-bats, so like...
Okay, so... What is he, 1-for-6? No, he's 2-for-6. No,
yeah,
because he had 2 hits at when he was injured, right? That game that he got injured.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess I was a little bit more astonished when I saw it like in the lineup at 3:33,
right, yeah.
But then I realized he only had 6 at bats.
Yeah.
But looking for tonight, I wanted to mention that since returning from the injured list, Lester has allowed just 1 earned run over 18 innings, his last 3 starts. He's accumulated 19 strikeouts during this time and only allowed 1 walk. He hasn't faced the Brewers this year, but last year in 2 starts, 11 2/3 innings pitched, he had a 2.31 ERA against Milwaukee with a 1-1 record. And also, Chassin has done well against the Cubs. He owns a 2.86 ERA in 12 games. 11 starts against the Cubs, including last year's NL Central tiebreaker. So definitely a guy that, you know, Chassin always intrigues me because he's not like a great pitcher or anything. He's not like amazing, but he seems to, yeah, always do well against us. So I think it's going to be a low scoring game tonight, Matt. And as for like a score prediction, I would say the Cubs win tonight 4-3 on the 4th walk-off of the week.
4th walk-off. That's bold. I'm going to go 3-1, Cubs win. I think we're going to hit off of Chassin early. He has been good against us, but, I mean, he hasn't been astonishing this year either. But like you said, he always does find a way to be astonishing against us. And something else, I know you said that Anthony Rizzo is out tonight, and I don't know if you knew this or not, but he's out for mild back tightness. Because of the game, they played 15 innings yesterday. So just a day off, and then we have a day off tomorrow too, so we should be back in lineup Tuesday.
Right, right. So we have about 7-8 minutes, Max, and I want to cruise through some NL Central notes, and we're going to start with the Milwaukee Brewers. And looking at the Brewers last week, I'm actually going to extend this to the last week and a half because – last weekend, the Brewers swept the Mets, and then they actually went back home. They swept the Mets at home, and then another 3-game sweep of the Nationals before they beat us on Friday. So the Brewers had a 7-game winning streak. Pretty impressive. They ended up climbing. I know that Milwaukee was a little bit quiet in the last 2 to 3 weeks in the NL Central. It was a lot about the Cubs and the Cardinals, but we've seen this kind of re-emergence of the Brewers, and then obviously they lost yesterday and will take on the Cubs tonight. What do you think so far about the Brewers? What have you seen this series, Max? And, you know, what do you think? Do you think it comes down to the Brewers or the Cardinals as the Cubs' biggest rival to take – or biggest hurdle to take first place in this division?
I would personally say the Cardinals. Obviously, Milwaukee has looked great to start the season. But I've said this in previous shows too. I mean, they're 16-8 to start the year at home, and they're 8-9 on the road, and they're only 11-11 versus over .500 teams, and it's not necessarily appealing. But you can kind of say the same thing about the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 14-9 at home, 8-10 on the road, and then 14-15 over 500 teams. But I mean, looking at it, the Cardinals have also played 7 more games than the Pirates have over 500 teams. And then for the Cubs, they're 13-10 against over 500 teams. The only team in the NL Central with an over 500 winning percentage against over 500 teams. So it's definitely appealing so far what the Cubs have done. And personally, I think St. Louis at the end of the year is going to be more of a threat than Milwaukee. Milwaukee only also has only a plus 8 run differential. Obviously, Christian Yelich has been great to start the season at home, but only one homer on the road so far. So he's struggled outside of home. Obviously, you play half your games at home, so I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to be like bad the rest of the year. I think he'll probably catch on a little bit more on the road, but maybe not. I mean, maybe he slows down a lot on the road and he just can't produce. But I mean, at the end of the year, I really do think Milwaukee won't be in the running for the postseason.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit bold, but I agree with some things you said there. So let's get into the Cardinals now. After the Cardinals got swept by the Cubs last weekend, they actually headed back home, and after a 6-0 Monday win, they lost the last two games on Tuesday and Wednesday, as they lost 11-1 on Tuesday, and they got shut out 5-0 on Wednesday. And then, much like the Philly series, they hosted the Pirates, and they won that first game. They scored a whopping 17 runs, but then ended up losing 3 straight games to the Pirates, including today's game. I believe the Pirates came back in that game, I believe, Max, but they won 10-6, and overall, a pretty bad week for the Cardinals. They fall to 2-5 on the week.
Yeah, and I was watching that Pirates game today. I was pretty happy when St. Louis did fall behind. The Pirates scored 5 in the 7th to come back. They were down 6-3 or something. They came back.
Right?
Yep, and then they came back. A Josh Bell homer and went out of the park in 3.5 seconds. I mean, obviously,
wow.
they've been great to start the season. But one thing I don't like, they have a negative 35 run differential. Only 138 runs scored and 173 given up. So, I mean, their record and the other stats so far don't necessarily match up. But I mean, you can't argue with they've been well to start the season so far. And they are also 4-12 against under 500 teams. I mean, those might not be stats that a lot of people like to look at, but those two are definitely ones that I do. And their expected win-loss is 15-22, and they're currently 20-17.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're also the only team in the NL Central to have a negative run differential. And like I had said earlier, Milwaukee close with only a plus 8. The Cubs have the most in the MLB. They're tied for the third most in the MLB with a plus 51. Thomas, want to guess who has the biggest run differential in the whole MLB?
The Minnesota Twins.
Nope. They're tied. We're tied with them for third.
I thought that was a good guess.
Yeah, it was. Houston Astros have a plus 69, and then the Tampa Bay Rays have a plus 57, and then us in Minnesota are both tied at plus 51. So, I mean, we've definitely produced well so far on the offensive side, and even the pitching side, too. I've liked what we've seen so far.
Yeah, definitely, and we're not going to have any time to get into the Pirates and the Reds past weeks, but Max, do you have anything else to add before we get on out of here, before we watch our Cubs in about 30 minutes?
No, not much.
All right, so with that, Max, and everyone else, it's going to wrap up our 19th episode of the Ivy Podcast here on May 12th. We look forward to seeing you guys next week on May 19th for our 20th. That is our 20th episode as the Cubs continue to roll along, and hopefully we can keep that first place secured. The specific time for the podcast will be to be determined, but make sure you follow Max's page at Wrigley News, my page at the Cubs Wave, and as always, go Cubs go, and we hope you have a relaxing rest of your Sunday night and enjoy the game. Thanks, guys.
Bipolar with the check. I just put some crazy around my neck. Go crazy with your
egg. The Ivy is produced by Benson Fechter. The Ivy is a production of the Baseball Podcast Network. For more of the Ivy content, be sure to head over to our website at baseballpodcastnet.com. Make sure to give our hosts a follow on Instagram, Thomas at the Cubs Wave, and Max at Wrigley News. Follow the official Baseball Podcast Network social media accounts, Instagram at Baseball Podcast Net, Twitter at Baseball Podcast One, that's PODCAS One, YouTube at Baseball Podcast Network, and SoundCloud at Baseball Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in to the Ivy. We'll see you next time.